Again, Song of Solomon is a beautiful story. It is a story told in song, a song about a loving relationship. I believe that pictures Christ and his bride. But again, that being said, there are many applications to you and I as individuals concerning our personal relationship with the Lord. And if we as individuals that make up the Lord's churches, if we could place ourselves in this song, oh, what our churches would become. He said last night that Song of Solomon, of course, is allegorical. With that being said, it does not lessen in any degree the truth that is presented in the song. It's simply a song that represents truth, symbolic of truth. It illustrates and portrays truth. A song that creates a very powerful image. And again, it's a powerful and moving love story pictured in song. Two main characters, a man and a woman, consist of many events, many circumstances. And through the scenes of the song, we see these two. They are in love. There is a unity of spirit about them. They are in communion with one another. They are constantly expressing their love, their respect, their adoration, their appreciation for each other. Throughout the song, there's just an attachment. There's a closeness between them. They're synchronized with one another. Such, of course, ought to be our individual life. It needs to be true of each one of us that know the Lord. Again, we want to read verse 4, chapter 1. This is the woman speaking. She says, "Draw me." And we emphasized that on last night. That needs to be our prayer. Regardless of circumstance, regardless of situation, regardless of event, none of those things are the issue. But draw me. Draw me. We spend a lot of time asking God to correct other individuals, and we need to pray, "Draw me. Draw me. We will run after thee." I believe that's the cause of being drawn. "The king hath brought me into his chambers. We will be glad and rejoice in thee. We'll remember thy love more than wine. The upright love thee." Amen. So she pleads, and we saw last night this in the context, it's a plea. There's nothing shallow about this request. She pleads, "Draw me. Move me closer to thee." Is there ever a time when it's not appropriate to pray that? "Move me closer to thee. Pull me toward thee." And as we said last night, you notice there are no stipulations. There are no restrictions. There are no limitations in the plea. It is simply, "Draw me." She leaves it to him. as to how he would draw her and by what means he would use to draw her. Our only concern needs to be, draw me. However he chooses to do that, that's his business. Draw me. And then it's followed by that statement, we will run after thee. That, of course, will be the result of the drawing. That is, if the Lord draws us, there will be a cheerfulness, there will be a readiness, there will be a willingness, there will be a haste to move toward him. That ought to describe our lives. Our lives ought to be cheerfully moving toward him, readily moving toward him, willingly moving toward him, with great haste moving toward him. Following that, there's a record of the request being granted. Draw me, we will run after thee. And then we see the request being granted. And that's what we want to focus upon this afternoon. I want to speak this afternoon on the blessed sweetness of drawn to God. There's no better life than living life being continually drawn to the Lord. Amen. And as we consider this request being answered and how it was answered, that just gives us further reason. It gives us more incentive to pray. Draw me. Draw me. First of all, there was the feeling of his effectual power. When he begins to draw us, we feel within his effectual power. She says, draw me. Skip some words and it says, the king hath brought me. How did he bring her? By his drawing power. The king, by his drawing power, hath brought me. Draw me. She's praying for him to do a work in her and upon her. And now we hear her say, the king. She recognizes him. She recognizes his royalty. She recognizes his sovereignty. And she says, the king hath. That is, the king, he's done something. The king hath brought. The king hath transported me. Oh, what a life. The king hath brought me. She's feeling within her soul his work upon her. She's feeling him bringing her to himself. The king hath brought me. She's feeling his sovereign and loving and gracious power moving her along. That needs to be our life. That we would feel the sovereign, gracious, loving power of the Lord moving us along. Moving us along toward him. So I today can be the recipient of his effectual power. Does not that provide me reason? Doesn't that provide me incentive to pray, Lord, draw me. Draw me. Secondly, there was the experience, personal experience of his chambers. She said, the Lord hath drawn me into his chambers, into the rooms of his palace, into the rooms of his palace, away from everything else. She feels the Lord drawing. She feels the Lord moving and pulling and tugging. And she finds herself moving with great zeal toward him, being brought closer and closer to him, until she finds herself in his chambers. The king hath brought me into his chambers. Do you know anything about that?
Amen.
The king hath brought me into his chambers. Can you identify, as she says, the king hath brought me. Hath brought me into his chambers. Notice the king, me, his chambers. The king, me, his chambers. Oh, how we need to plead, draw me.
Amen.
So look at her there in his chambers. In his chambers. In his chambers, she becomes more aware of who he is. In his chambers, she experiences more of who he is. In his chambers, we learn and we experience more of his power. We learn and experience more of his wisdom, and his holiness, and his love, and his grace, and his mercy, and his long-suffering, his infinite goodness, his unending care, his glorious riches and provisions. Oh, how we need to plead. Draw me. Draw me. How many of us are willing right now, at this very moment, to put absolutely everything else to the side? Doesn't matter what else is going on. Put everything else to the side and plead, draw me. Draw me, Lord. And then we begin to feel his effectual power working in us, and we feel ourselves moving toward him, and eventually we find ourselves in his chambers, away from everything else. Oh, the circumstances are still going on. The events are still going on, but we're in his chambers. Makes a big difference. Makes a big difference, me experiencing my circumstances in his chambers than away from him. And he brought me, the king hath brought me into his chambers. And it is there that she finds gladness and rejoicing in him. Notice what it says. Verse 4. The king hath brought me into his chambers. We will be glad and rejoice in thee. In his chambers. In his chambers we will be glad and we will rejoice in thee. Yes, all the other things are going on, but we're in his chambers and we have a gladness and a rejoicing in him. In his chambers. She also in his chambers found herself meditating upon his love.
Amen.
It was while in those chambers she said, we will remember thy love more than wine. Oh, we remember a lot of things that do not help us. And we get our minds stuck on a lot of things that do not help us. That's why we need to pray, Lord, draw me. And then we feel his effectual power drawing us into his chambers. And it is in his chambers we begin to meditate upon his love.
Amen.
And now we're able to face those circumstances and those events, whatever they might be. Then we skip over to chapter 2, verse 3. I sat down, I believe, by the power of his drawing. I sat down under his shadow. I'm telling you, it just keeps getting better and better. It just keeps getting better and better. Keep a mark there. I noticed this when Brother was just preaching in 1 John chapter 1. It just keeps getting better and better. Verse 1, it says, speaking of Jesus Christ, which from the beginning we have heard, which we have seen. Now that's an advancement. That's a progression. I hear, I see. Things are getting better. But then it gets even better. We have looked upon. There's a big difference between seeing something way out there and looking upon something. You see, it's progressing. And then notice what it says, and handled. There's a progression. And we see that here in Song of Solomon. We pray, Lord, draw me. And it just keeps getting better and better and better. I sat down under his shadow. She did so with great satisfaction. She did so with great contentment. She did so with great pleasure. So look at her there. She's sitting under his shadow. She's experiencing the Lord as her shade. When you're experiencing the Lord as your shade, does the circumstances even matter? No, they really don't. That's not the emphasis anymore. I, as a result of his drawing power, sat down under his shadow. So we see her there. She's personally experiencing relief from the weariness of chapter 1, verse 6. In chapter 1 and verse 6, she says, the sun hath looked upon me. My mother's children were angry with me. I sat down under his shadow. She's now in a place where she experiences relief from chapter 1 in verse 6. She's experiencing the relief that only he can give. Look at the verses in the Word of God. We don't have time right now, but you look at the verses that speak of his shadow. It's real. His shadow is real. And here we are. This world is weary. This world is an exhausting place. This world is filled with trouble. This world is filled with testing. It's filled with evil and wickedness. It's a world of many struggles. It's a world of heavy, heavy burdens and overwhelming problems and sorrows and heartaches. It's a worry of fear. It's a world of fear and worry. But thank God for his shade. Amen. I sat down under his shadow. And thank God that he draws us to his shade. Amen. Amen. I don't just one day decide, you know what, I'm going to sit in his shade today. But he draws me. He draws me. So once again, the issue is not whatever your circumstance is. That's not the issue. That's not the emphasis. Draw me. Draw me. And I sat down under his shadow. As you look at her there, do you see her sitting there just shifting about in frustration? Well, I don't think so. She's at peace. Amen. There's a contentment. Because does she not say, I sat down under his shadow with great delight, with extraordinary pleasure? I sat down under his shadow. Well, that's fine, but in order for that to happen, all my circumstances have to be in order. And everything has to be just fine. Well, guess what? You'll never sit under his shadow. This isn't dependent upon circumstances. It's in spite of. We can sit under his shadow. And as we sit there, we realize I'm weak. He's strong. And his strength begins to overshadow our weakness. And we feel that strength. We begin to realize I'm poor, but he's rich. And the shadow of his strength overshadows our weakness, and the shadow of his riches overshadows our unworthiness. The shadow of his worthiness overshadows our unworthiness. So there she is sitting in a shade. There's refreshment. There's satisfaction. You know anything about it? Oh, can't we rejoice in those times? But then notice what else it says. And his fruit was sweet to my taste. Where is she? She's under his shadow. And it says she's under his shadow. His fruit was sweet to my taste. What is his fruit? Well, I believe that's expressive of what he offers us. His grace, his food, his strength, his direction, his counsel, his consoling, his peace. And it's as you draw near and as you abide under this shadow that you develop a greater taste for what he offers. And there's a blessed opportunity to receive what he offers. So it is possible right now, you and I, as children of God, to sit under his shadow. Amen. I pray that you are. But if you aren't, the possibility is there. Which again gives us reason and provides incentive to pray. Lord, draw me. Amen. Draw me. Notice also, again, it just keeps getting better. Verse 4 of chapter 2, he brought me, there it is again, that's second time. Remember, he brought me into his chambers. He brought me to the banqueting house. He brought me to the feasting house. How did he do that? By his drawing power. Luke 14, verse 17, in the parable of the Great Supper, we read those words, come, for all things are now ready. That's always true, by the way. Come, for all things are now ready. Amen. Well, I've got this going on. Come, for all things are now ready. Well, I've got this person in my life. Come, for all things are now ready. Circumstances and events has no bearing upon this. Come, for all things are now ready. The Lord has a feast for you. He has a feast for you right now. Amen. And he says, come. And our plea ought to be, Lord, draw me, draw me, draw me to the banqueting house. Amen. Why would I want to feast on the husk of this world when I can be drawn to the banqueting house of the Lord? Amen. Draw me. Think of his banqueting house. Does that not speak of his hospitality? Does that not speak of his friendliness toward us? Does not that speak of his welcoming of us? Does that not speak of his reception of us and his generosity toward us? And his plentifulness for us. He brought me to the banqueting house. It's a reality. This isn't just some dream. Amen. This is real. Yeah. There is a banqueting house. The Lord has a house of feasting. And I can live there. And oh, how I need to pray. Because left to myself, I'll go away from the banqueting house. Left to myself, I'll feed upon the husk of the world. That's why I need to pray. Draw me, draw me, draw me. People will pull me away from the banqueting house. It's not just my circumstances that'll pull me away from the banqueting house. The circumstances of other people, if I let them, will pull me away from the banqueting house. That's why I need to always be praying. Draw me, Lord. Draw me. I want to live in the banqueting house. Draw me. Why would you want to live anywhere else? As a child of God. And again, people will say, well, Brother Dan, you just don't understand my problems. No, you don't understand. That your problems have no bearing upon what we're talking about. Draw me. Draw me. And he brought me to the banqueting house. And then notice what she says. There was a feeling of the presence of his love. It was while she was being drawn to the banqueting house, and it's while she's in the banqueting house, she says, and that is in addition to. In other words, it just keeps getting better. And his banner over me was love. So we see her there. She's living in the awareness of his love for her. She's living in the awareness of the influence of his love. It was while she was sitting under his shadow. It was while she was feasting upon him that she feels his great love. We're talking about a love in spite of our sins. We're talking about a love in spite of our rebellions, in spite of our enmity, in spite of our contending and our defiance and our defilement and our shame and our unworthiness and the guilt. And she says, I felt his love. That's real. Draw me. It's a love that is particular. It's a love for me. It's a selective love. He chose to love me. Amen. It's an entirely committed love. Amen. It's a forever love. It's an immutable love. And if it's a love for me, if it's a love for you, it has to be an unconditional love. Right. It's an abounding love. It's a love so extensive that it cannot be measured. It's an invincible love. Amen. Nothing can conquer this love. We're more than conquerors through him. Amen. Who loved us. So we hear her say, and in addition to the feasting house, his banner over me was love. I could feel it. It was overshadowing me. I could feel his love. It was real. It was a reality in her life. And his banner over me was love. And we today can live in the presence of his love. That very possibility ought to cause us to pray, draw me, Lord. Draw me. Draw me. She also experiences his touch and his embrace. It was in that banqueting house. She becomes more acutely aware of her need of him, and she prays in verse 5 of chapter 2, stay me. Stay me. That is, stop me. Stop me from falling. Prop and hold me up. And then it just keeps getting better. After she prays, stay me, in verse 6, she says, his left hand is under my head. You notice she didn't say one of his hands is under my head. This was so real. His left hand is under my head, and his right hand doth embrace me. Oh, what a picture. He has answered her cry. She prayed, stay me. And the next thing we read is, his left hand is under my head and his right hand doth embrace me. Do we know anything about that? Amen. So we see her there in the house of feasting. She experiences the touch of the Lord. It's a loving touch. It's a caring touch. It's an assuring touch. It's a transforming touch. But she also feels his embrace. His right hand doth embrace me. She experiences the hug of the Lord. She experiences the clutch of the Lord. That's possible right now. And since it is possible right now, I need to be praying. Lord, draw me. Notice also verse 8, she experiences his voice, the voice of my beloved. And look at it real close, real close. The voice of my beloved, and then what follows it? What follows it? An exclamation point. The voice of my beloved with an exclamation point. Well, stop and think about that for a while. The voice of my beloved with an exclamation point. Let that sink into our hearts. The voice of my beloved. We read much about his voice in Psalm 29. We don't have time to go there. But this was a voice that brought her a thrill. It brought excitement to her. It filled her with elation. The voice of the Lord. Or the voice of my beloved. It was personal. Verse 10, she said, my beloved spake and said unto me. She's in the banqueting house. She feels this banner of love. She hears his voice. And the voice wasn't just speaking, it spoke to her. My beloved spake and said unto me, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, that he speaks to us.
Amen. Amen.
Notice what that voice said. Rise up, my love, my fair one, and come away. Verse 13, it's arise, my love, my fair one, and come away. And I believe once again she was drawn. It was an arousing power in that voice. Rise up! Arise! And she finds herself getting up. We need to hear that every day. Rise up! Arise! But it's more than that. There's an invitation. And come. It's not arise up and go. It's arise up and come. And that's possible every day. So every day I need to pray. Oh Lord, draw me. Draw me. Come away. Oh, but I've got these terrible circumstances. What is it that you don't understand?
Right.
Arise up and come away, away, away.
Amen.
From your circumstances. Draw near to me. That's the answer.
Amen.
That's always the answer. Come away. And every day I have that opportunity to come away from all the nonsense, all the clutter, all the filth, and come away with Him. Draw me. Draw me. Notice also verse 8. Voice of my beloved. Behold, He cometh leaping upon the mountains and skipping upon the hills. Notice she says, behold. Behold, He. She has the experience of beholding Him. And it says, we draw near to Him. We have the experience of beholding Him. Just looking upon Him. Enthralled with Him. And then in verse 9, she speaks of Him and she said, He was showing Himself. Draw nigh to God and He shows Himself to us. That's what we need to be shown. I don't need to be shown more of the depths of my circumstances. I need Him to show me Him. Amen. And therefore we pray, draw me. So we see from all of this, the blessed sweetness of drawn to God. As the sons and the daughters of God, our lives should not be marked by mere spiritual platitudes and a form of godliness.
Amen.
But by a blessed sweetness of being near to God. And as the sons and daughters of God, our lives should not be engulfed by the world's ways.
Right.
I should not be sinking into my circumstances. My life should not be marked by a wandering and a defeat and a bondage and a frustration and an exasperation and dysfunction. That's not what is to mark the life of a child of God.
Amen.
Our lives are not to be marked by turmoil and unrest, but our lives are to be marked by the blessed sweetness of nearness to God.
Amen.
That's where we're to live. We're to not allow anything to interfere with that. That's why we have to always be praying. Draw me, draw me. Because in Him is light greater than any darkness you might be experiencing. In Him is strength greater than any weakness you might be experiencing. In Him is rest greater than any weariness you might be experiencing. In Him is encouragement greater than any discouragement that you might ever feel. You might be thinking, I've never been more discouraged in my life. I've never been more disappointed in my life. And you can dwell there and you can get stuck there, or you can pray, Lord, draw me, draw me, draw me, and find ourselves being brought into His chambers. And that's where we can live our lives. Oh, how we need to pray. Draw me. Oh, and there's people all around us. They need fixing. There's no question about that. But look in the mirror. We all need fixing. So we need to pray. Lord, draw me. Lord, draw me. Draw me. Because that's where we find communion and interaction with God. That's where we enjoy a greater friendship, a greater togetherness with the Lord. That's where our lives are more identified with the Lord. What is it that identifies our life? Is it our circumstances? Is that what identifies our life? Is it the job we work? What is it that identifies our life? What is it that consumes our life? It ought to be this nearness to God.
Amen.
I've got to keep moving in the direction of God. I've got an individual over here pulling me this way, an individual over here pulling me that way, and so on. And we need to be praying, Lord, draw me, draw me, draw me. Amen. And we feel the efficacious power of God drawing us away from everybody else that's trying to pull us away. And we find ourselves moving in the direction of God. That ought to always be so. In the very second that we feel ourselves being moved away from God, we need to fall to our knees and pray, Lord, draw me, draw me. I can't afford to go away from you. I've got to be moving in your direction. Every marriage, husbands and wives, both individuals need to be moving in the direction of God. Well, she's not doing this. He's not doing that. You pray, draw me. Amen. That's what we need to pray. And as we said last night, two church members having problems with one another, if they both pray, Lord, draw me. Forget all about your problem. Forget all about the brother or the sister and just pray, draw me. And if both people would do that, problem solved. Amen. God help us to always pray, draw me. God help us to live near to Him. What a blessed life. Lord bless you.